Hello guys, and welcome to the Tao of June, living an inspired life. I'm cheesing like crazy. I can't even help it right now. I'm just so excited because I am on my way to go on my first scout, turkey scout. I just purchased my hunting license. I had to wait a week because here in Georgia, you have to pass a hunter safety course before you are able to get a hunting license. It's just one of the requirements, which I highly agree with. I'm strongly in support of that because I learned so much. And I learned the biggest takeaway that I got out of it is, first of all, be safe. That's the number one rule, is be safe. Number two is, hunters are conservationists. We are interacting with nature, with the habitat, with the ecosystem in a meaningful way by helping manage the wildlife population to help keep it in balance. And that's why it's called wildlife management areas where we're allowed to hunt on public land, which is where I'm headed right now. Oh man, I'm so excited. And the thing is, we can't even hunt. It's not like you can just shoot any kind of turkey. You have to shoot a tom, which is a male turkey, and they have to be mature. You can't even shoot a, I think they call them jacks, right? Oh man, now I look like an idiot. Yeah, I think they're jacks, but they're younger toms, and you're not allowed to shoot them. You have to shoot mature male turkeys, which are called gobblers or toms. And you know, the crazy thing is, I'm learning so much. there are ways to tell whether there are a hen laid a dump or a tom took a dump. And it's because hens, they're kind of nice and round, kind of. You could tell, like, she squatted down and took a dump, right? The male tom droppings are in the shape of a J. And that must mean that they're kind of moving around while they poo, right? And I don't know why I found that funny. But yeah, so when you look for turkey signs, which is what I'm going to do today. So here's the thing. I've never been hunting in my entire life. I've always been out in the woods, of course, my entire life. I mean, that's what I do. I walk in the woods, in the forest with my dogs. But I've never actually gone hunting. I never even thought about it, really. I mean, I always fantasized about it, like, oh man, like the Native Americans, you know, hunting like that. Oh my God, that's what I'm gonna do, because I'm taking my bow with me. Even though I'm not planning on actually taking down a turkey today, I don't want to rule the possibility out, right? I mean, if you want to hit the lottery, you gotta at least buy the ticket, right? I mean, if you want to chance, if you want to even have a prayer of winning it, you gotta at least buy the ticket, right? So I'm not gonna rule out the possibility that I could get extremely lucky and hit the lottery and get a turkey today on my first day out just scouting. But I know that the chances are highly unlikely. But I'm gonna take my bow just in case, and because I wanna practice today like it's a real thing, right? Practice like you play. So I'm gonna take my bow out. I got 6 arrows with me. Oh man, and I'm gonna scout this area called Broad River WMA. It's Broad River Wildlife Management Area, and it's about an hour drive from me. But I chose this place because it's only 440 acres, and I thought that it's all close to my house. It's only an hour drive, and it's only 440 acres. There's this app for Georgia hunters, go Outdoors Georgia or something like that. I think it's Georgia Go Outdoors or something like that. Anyways, I downloaded the Hunters app, and on it there's an option where you can look up the hunting areas, and then you can pull up the interactive map, and then in that map you can even have different views of the topography, of the real life view. It's amazing, the app. But there's also a measurement tool where you can put pins around on it, And so I put pins on the trail where I was, where I would hike along the trail. I'm not going to go into the forest or anything today. My plan is just to hike the perimeter, the trail that's already, you know, laid out, and not go off the trail today. And I plotted it out, and it's only like 3.5, maybe 4 miles. If I really went into all the little crevices, maybe 5 miles. That's it. All the way back to my car, round trip, 5 miles. And I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, I could do that in like 2-3 hours, you know? And oh my goodness. I am so like excited and nervous. But the plan is today to look for turkey signs along the trail. And especially around the river, because it, the trail goes right on the river's edge. So I'm thinking, especially near the river, there should be turkey signs, right? Because they need water. And they're probably not going to cross the river. They're probably walking along the river's edge. And I need to stop saying "and." End the freaking sentence. You know what I'm saying? Shoot, all these run-ons. That's why nobody likes listening to you. That's what I'm saying. Okay. End the freaking sentence, period. Now, when the turkeys walk from the forest or where they're roosting, I didn't even know this, but the turkeys roost up in the trees. So you got to look for tall trees, where areas that have lots of trees, because turkeys like to have some cover, and they nest, they roost up in the trees and the branches. I didn't know that. They fly down. I was like, what? How did they get up there? I guess they fly up. That's crazy, right? So that's interesting. So early in the morning, though, is when they fly down. And the reason why I couldn't go early this morning is because I actually had a international speech contest. Toastmasters, baby! Anyways, you would never think that I'm a Toastmaster by the way I speak, because it is so... oh, so unpolished. But I'm working on it. And I'm getting better. And I didn't say anyways just then when I was about to say anyways. But now I said anyways again just because I was trying to explain. I should have just moved on. And I just said anyways like 4 times now. Oh, shoot. That's why I get irritated with myself. But it's okay. I accept myself anyways. Stop saying anyways. The way I am. Imperfect, flawed, who cares, right? So what? I like myself. Now, and you should too. Let me be an example to you guys. You know, let this be a lesson to everyone. Let this be an inspiration, right? If I can enlighten myself and accept myself for who I am, right? Then, you know, what's holding you back from liking yourself, accepting yourself? You don't have to be perfect. You're never going to be perfect. So why wait? Now, moving on. I'm going to go in there with an open mind and just take my time, not rush it. I'm going to try to just really enjoy the experience, because hunting for me is not about going in there and just killing things. That's poaching. And poachers are criminals. That's illegal, okay? That's fucking illegal, like Dana White would say. But Dana White is the president of the Ultimate Fighting... what is it? Ultimate Fighting Championship? Yeah, UFC. And he... I love the way he talks. But yeah, he... There's a soundbite. He's a meme now where he says, that's fucking illegal. But it is, to go in there and just kill shit. Just kill living animals, God's creatures. We're not, as hunters, especially a bow hunter like myself, right? Where I'm going in there with a stick and a string, baby. It doesn't get more pure than that. More the simplicity of it. So beautiful to me. But hunters, we go in there to be with nature, to interact with nature, and to help restore balance, because there are invasive species. And right now, they're actually saying that there's a shortage of turkeys. So there's a very good chance I'm gonna go in there and not really see any turkeys, not spot any turkey signs. So who cares, right? And I've been reading on the Hunter forums here in Georgia, and they're saying that, well, many hunters believe that it's not a overhunting problem because there are not that many hunters here in Georgia. I mean, there are a lot, but I mean, not really, right? Considering compared to the overall population, the ratio of hunters versus non-hunter residents here in Georgia, probably, you know, a small percentage are hunters, especially hunting on public land. I doubt that I'm going to find a lot of people out there hunting today. And if I do, shoot, I'll report back. But I don't know what to expect because this is my first time going out. But maybe a lot of people are getting into it just like me right now around these times. So who knows what I'll find. But the hunters were saying that they don't think that it's because turkeys are being overhunted, because there's a limit. We're only allowed to hunt harvest, which means take down and take home 3 turkeys per season. And they have to be toms. They have to be male. So it's not like we're going out there and just wiping out the turkey population. They believe that it's a predator problem. The feral hogs, which are an invasive species, they're over-predating, over-killing turkeys, because turkey are their prey. And they're much better hunters than human beings. I mean, that's what they do every day, right? And these feral hogs are killing the turkeys, and also coyotes, which are also an invasive species, which are also classified as a pest here in Georgia. So I can go out there and take down a coyote if I see one, and I probably should, really, because they're causing too much problems. They don't have natural predators here because they're an invasive species, especially the feral hogs. The coyotes, I mean, maybe a bear, right? What do we have in here in Georgia that could eat a, take down a coyote? I think we might have, I don't think we have mountain lions here in Georgia. I don't know, but I don't think so. I don't think we have mountain lions here in Georgia. I think it's coyotes. That's about it. And we have foxes, of course, but that's the thing. Coyotes are taking down foxes as well. And foxes are, natural. You're not allowed to kill foxes. There's a fox season. There's rules on that as well. But even foxes are being, their population, the foxes, the population is also dwindling, declining because these coyotes and feral hogs that are invasive species here to Georgia are just eating everything in sight. So they're also starving animals here that are supposed to be here in Georgia that are native to the ecosystem. Here in Georgia, these native animals are starving to death because these invasive species, these pests, the hogs and coyotes, they're eating up everything, and they're also preying on these animals. And the hunters were saying that instead of lowering the limit, because next year they're talking about lowering the limit to 2 turkeys per season, not 3. And the hunters were saying, instead of lowering the limit, why not start everybody off at 1 tag, so you get 1 per season. But for every coyote or hog you take down, you get an extra turkey. Because he was saying, then you're actually helping, restore balance. And I was thinking, that's really interesting. And see, that's what hunters are doing. We're trying to restore balance and keep one species from overpopulating, and trying to take out an invasive species that are not native here and causing lots of problems, not only for the native animals that live here, but also to the farmers, and the people that work the land here. These hogs are a problem. So if I do run into a hog, I may take a shot at it if I get close enough, because I brought my 35-pound bow. I have a takedown bow that I brought because I can take it down, which means that you can take it apart, you can take the limbs off, And I have that in my backpack, like a, it's a quiver, it's a arrow quiver where I keep my arrows, but also it's on my back and it's pretty big, so it's made where you could fit the bow when you take it down into the quiver. So I have my 35 pound limbs. I didn't bring my 50 pound limbs because I do have 50 pound limbs, which are much heavier draw weight, which means when you pull the bow back, when you pull the string back, the 50 pound limbs, which are stronger limbs, it requires 50 pounds of pressure to pull the string back and hold it back at 28 inches, which is my draw length, which is the average draw length. And I bring my finger right up to my lip, the edge of my lip, at the corner of my mouth, and that's about 28 inches. But yeah, if I brought my 50 pound limbs, then I think I might take a shot at a hog if they're about 10 to 15 yards away. Anything beyond 15 yards, maybe a 20 yard shot, but that it has to be a very clear shot, like in a clearing, you know, like in a meadow or something, a pasture or a valley or something. But so it has to be a clear shot for me to take a shot at 20 yards. Even then, I probably wouldn't take it because I'm not that confident yet at 20 yards. But at 10 to 15 yards, I'm pretty confident that I could hit the target that I'm aiming for. But who knows? They're talking about target panic, which is when you start to shake because the adrenaline and you get excited, and it's like stage fright. It's like what I experienced this morning before the competition, before the speech competition. But you know, you just have to breathe through it. And that's what I did this morning before the speech competition, because I was feeling so nervous, and I just breathed and just meditated, really. That's what basically meditation is focusing your attention on your breath and observe it. And that, stop saying "and." So I was observing my breath, letting it do whatever it does, not trying to control my breath. And then the odd thing, the very fascinating thing is, when you do that, even when I'm feeling anxious, nervous, stage fright, and my body is starting to, you know, shake, and I could feel my breath become more shallow and more rapid, when I just focus my attention, close my eyes, and just focus all of my attention on my breath, and tell myself, I'm just an observer to my breath. I'm just going to observe it. The weird thing is, it starts to just calm down. And I start to breathe normally, like relaxed. I just watch it. And it's really funny. It's almost like a rowdy child or something. Just making all this noise. And the moment you watch them, and they know that they're being watched, they calm down or something. It's really weird. But yeah, I just felt myself calm down, and then I was able to give my speech, and I won first place for my area, baby, because there was nobody else competing with me. I was the only contestant, and all I had to do was qualify for time, which meant all I had to do was just speak for under 7.5 minutes, and I would qualify and win first place, which I did, which is still an accomplishment for me, because I stay at top, stop talking, and I rant and ramble, and I just keep talking about nonsense, and this is what I do. So I'm so proud of myself for beating the clock and still winning first place in the international speech contest for the area level for my club, Brookhaven Toastmasters. Woo woo! What an idiot. Now, oh my goodness, indoor archery, 2 miles, Tanger. Oh my goodness, I might stop by there. I didn't know that. Okay, before I make a fool out of myself, you guys get the picture. This is where I'm at, this is what I'm doing. Trying to live an inspired life, right? Because I told myself, I'm through doing things and going after goals and going after things that I think will impress people, like my mom or my brother or my my children or, you know, just people in general. I'm through doing things because I think it will make people like me better. Because it won't. It probably won't. Who cares? So now I want to do things for me. And this is something that excites me. Oh my goodness, I cannot stop cheesing right now. I'm trying to control myself and just observe my breathing. And this, I told myself, if this is how I spend the rest of my time here on Earth, is interacting with nature in a meaningful way, then I am good. I can leave this place happy with stories to tell, I'm sure. I'm sure. Because that's why you do things, right? Do it for the story. Do it for the story you can tell afterwards. Because you want to live a life full of adventure, right? Full of stories to tell. Because, I mean, you could play it safe, right? We could live life safely, right? But Jim Rohn says, better to live 25 years full of adventure than 100 years safe in the corner, right? Life is a daring adventure or nothing at all, like Helen Keller says. So, you know, my fellow adventurers, I honor the light in you that's also in me. Namaste.